We begin this new series in 1 John, Children of God loves to love. That's our theme. We're going to enjoy looking through this letter and understand what it means to be loved by our Heavenly Father and to love others. Let me pray as we look at this first part of 1 John. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we again thank you for your love to us in the Lord Jesus. Father, in Christ alone we stand. And Father, we thank you for the great promise. No scheme of man, no power of man can pluck us from your hand because of all that the Lord Jesus is and what he's done for us. And Father, we thank you, as Jay prayed and shared with us this morning, that we have your word in our hands, that you speak to us through your word and by your spirit. And so, Father, this morning as we again hear your voice to us, your children, Father, may we hear a Father who loves us, who cares for us, who longs for us to trust you in all circumstances of life. And that through your love, Lord, for us in the Lord Jesus, that we may be people who love one another. So, Father, we pray that we'll hear your voice this morning and we'll respond to it with repentance and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I think John Piper is right in saying that that is the greatest privilege that humanity have, is to be adopted as a child of God. Well, friends, tucked towards the end of your Bible is a little book called 1 John, which we're going to work through this series. It's written by the Apostle John, who also wrote John's Gospel, and he wrote a couple other letters, 2 and 3 John and Revelation. And as we read in 1 John chapter 3, it says this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. As we know from John's Gospel, chapter 1, yet to all who receive him," that is Jesus, "those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." God has lavished his love in us on Jesus at the cross. You get a sense of it's, we're inundated, we're deluged by his love. God holds nothing back from us so that we can be called children of God, part of his family. We have a new status. We're co-heirs with Christ. We're sons and daughters of God. So friends, if you receive Jesus, you trust him as your Savior, if you believe in his name through God's lavish love to us in Jesus, you too are, let's say together, I am a child of God, or we're children of God. Let's, come on, we can do better than that. I am a child of God. Absolutely, that's what we are. The Apostle John wrote this small letter to a group of Christians in Ephesus who have come to faith through his teaching, as we read in John's Gospel, about Jesus. And we read in chapter 5 of 1 John, in verse 13, it says this. Well, it says that you will know with certainty that if you believe in Jesus, you are a child of God. We've established that. But with a certain, assured destiny. 1 John 5, verse 13 says this: "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." I'm a child of God for eternity. Alex is nodding her head. Absolutely. It's a wow moment. I'm a child of God for eternity. So as we work through this letter, we are not dealing with tiny thoughts or small things here. I think our lives today are consumed and our minds are full of thoughts that we think are enormous, like managing the world economy, the race to Mars, the failure of referees in footy games, who will be the winner of Bachelorette as Angie is dumped and she's devastated. So I read, I don't watch it. Now, as important as those things may be to some, they are tiny thoughts. They have little concern when we look at the things contained in this letter for our encouragement, for our assurance, for our hope. Open your Bibles. I asked Joe to put it up on the screen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read it again. It's four verses. This is the foundation for our series. The foundation for our life is found in these four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Friends, our minds can easily be consumed by small, tiny thoughts compared to the eternal things of God. See, when we focus on the small things of this world, I think we can lose sight of God's eternal plans for this world and for his people. His children, that's you and I. And I think as we focus on these tiny thoughts, it reveals this age really is an age of great uncertainty. We live in a world that is full of uncertainty. Even though we may know so much about the economy, even though we can contemplate going to Mars, there's still great uncertainty of the future. Climate change, wars, terrorism, economic meltdown, housing bubble, unemployment, sickness, disease, epidemics, and on it goes. Uncertainty about knowledge, what is true for me, which one of us is right or wrong, or is it just difference of opinions or perspectives? The same with religion. We live in a multi-faith society, as we looked at last term. Who's right? And as Christians, we're not immune. We too can be uncertain of our future. Will we receive eternal life? We have doubts about assurance, uncertainty through our struggle with sin that I can't seem to stop or master. We wonder what it says about our faith. Are we really saved? Friends, we live in uncertain times. And these uncertain times can shake our confidence. Like some who were part of this church that John wrote to, they questioned Jesus coming in the flesh. So they've walked away. And they've tried to lead others astray and lead them away from the truth. So we have 1 John. This great little letter. It's going to challenge us to live the life as children of God. Loved by God to love others. It's going to challenge us not to love the world in which we live in. Not to walk in darkness but of the sinful flesh, but to live in light of God who is light, where true life is found. And this true life is found that was in the beginning, that has appeared from eternity to eternity. So that we'll have unshakable assurance of eternal life as children of God. That's what we're going to be on about. They're not tiny things, are they? Enormous things for us to consider. And this truth of eternal life as a children of God is firstly grounded in historical certainty, and secondly, it's grounded in personal certainty of fellowship. I'm a child of God for eternity. And this life is grounded, as I said, in historical certainty. We said that this life was from the beginning, the very beginning. Eternal life that was with the Father. See, friends, life with God is not a recent phenomenon. Now, some of you know Stephen Hawking. He passed away recently. He's the groundbreaking physicist, and he left us one last shimmering piece of brilliance, according to one writer, before he died. In his final paper, detailing his last theory on the origin of the universe, explained by the union of the general theory of relativity and quantum mechanics. Now, I'm glad I don't have time to explain that to you. They're all good things for us to know. But as one writer pointed out, our understanding of our universe through science and discovery is only found at the edges of what we're talking about here. that which was from the beginning, that life that was with the Father. Verse 1 again, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And what basis can we talk about and with such confidence of this life? In verse 2, the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. See, the Christian life did not begin when we first heard it. It doesn't start with us. Even though that we think life and faith is all about ourselves, life, eternal life, the author of life itself was with the Father from the beginning. Even before the word of life appeared, even before Abraham, even before the first humans of Adam and Eve, this life was from the beginning, before all creation, as we read at the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. And this life has appeared. And we're not talking about a dream or a simple human idea. That which was from the beginning, which the apostle states, we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have touched with our hands. That's what we're talking about here. That's the life we're talking about. And as you might know, John wrote in his gospel, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Everything we have to say is based on the fact that the eternal life that was with the Father from the beginning has appeared in a person. Audible. Visible, tangible, heard, seen, touched. And John says this is not some private opinion or corporate announcement. No, John speaks on the basis of a public, documented, historical event, open to investigation of Jesus Christ coming into the world, that John says this is what we proclaim. We have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. This is the central character of the Christian message. This is the essential character of the Christian testimony. Our testimony of faith is not just based on my personal story or experience or how I've overcome the certain struggles or certain things in my life, albeit they are important. We all have important stories to tell of God's redeeming work in our lives. Yet the Christian testimony is the eternal life that was from the beginning with the Father which has appeared in history. That's what our faith is all about. That's what our life is all about. That's what we ground in our foundation in. At the conference I attended recently in America, one of the speakers, Christopher Yuan, shared his story growing up as a gay man. He was hooked on drugs. He became a dealer in those drugs. He was jailed for 6 years. Yet through it all, his mum constantly shared the hope of Jesus, of eternal life. At every step of the way, she kept sharing the Bible with her son. And then Christopher was diagnosed with HIV. She again pointed him to the hope of life with Jesus. And so faced with hopelessness, he began to read the Bible that his mum gave him. And as he started to read about Jesus, as Christopher spoke, I was left not thinking about his previous life. Rather, he's constantly referring to his mother who shared the hope of Jesus. The mother who kept pointing to the word of God, the testimony of life that was from the beginning that has appeared. And he found forgiveness, redemption, salvation in the word of life. He's now washed clean, sanctified, justified, transformed, glorified, a child of God. But what stood out through that whole testimony was the hope that his mum shared of the life that has appeared. See, Christian testimonies to the Word of Life, the divine person of Jesus Christ who did come into this world, heard, seen, touched. And as we know, he lived, he died, and rose again for us. Now, many today may not abandon this truth of Jesus coming in the flesh, but certainly abandon the things Jesus said about himself, about life, about the Father, about sin and forgiveness that comes through repentance. Abandon the truth, especially about marriage and life and death. See, our sinful worldly culture is trying to change what Jesus said about life that was from the beginning. What true life is. And I think such people are abandoning and denying the very essence, nature and the existence of Jesus, as were some in John's days. That's why we have to be grounded in the truth. Our world is trying to lead us astray from what we know is true. The Christian testimony is to the eternal life that was from the beginning of all things, that was with the Father, has appeared in the flesh, in history, in time and a place. We can know and investigate him as we looked at last term. The New Testament tells of eyewitness accounts of Jesus, who also saw him and heard him and touched him and proclaimed him. The same message that we have heard about. So we, like the church John writes to, need to be confident. Don't let your faith be shaken by lies. Our faith rests on solid ground. True life is found in Jesus. Now we're going to look more at what this true life is through the rest of John. We won't go into that much today. But the life that God intended came from eternity and appeared in the person of Jesus. And through this coming in the flesh and this earthly life, Jesus possessed spiritual life. And he imparted this life to him to others who received him by faith. So that we could understand that eternal life is wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was with the Father from the beginning and has appeared to us, giving us assurance, historical certainty of eternal life as a child of God. You're a child of God because of what has happened in history. The Word of Life appeared, heard, seen, touched, proclaimed. That's our foundation. Well, secondly, our personal certainty of fellowship is where we also need to ground our faith. Look at verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of the Christian message? What is the purpose of the testimony to the message of Jesus Christ and his coming into the world? We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. You know, fellowship is just means sharing something together. Human fellowship is a good thing. We can share many good things together. Family and things of mutual interest like AFL. Golf, which some call a good walk ruined. Others climbing. We can share fellowship over food and wine and music. All good things as Christians we can share. We can have fellowship together. We can share in life together. That's what fellowship is all about. But here is the amazing thing that John writes to us. We proclaim to you what we have heard, seen and touched, so that you may have fellowship with us, so that you may share with us. Share with the apostles who have seen, heard and touched Jesus. But what do we share in? Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That's no tiny thing, is it? We share in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. The purpose of the Christian message is that we might share in the life that was from the beginning with the Father and the Word of Life which has appeared. By faith in the Word of Life, we have fellowship. We have relationship, sharing all that is the Father and is the Son. We're drawn into that relationship. And that's no small thought for us to get around, our head around. The eternal Father, Son and Spirit draws us into that wonderful relationship. You know, we have many desires for friendship and relationship, and they are good desires. But there is a greater fellowship and a more important fellowship. It's sharing together the life that has appeared in this world when Jesus came. And our Christian fellowship is unique. See, Christian fellowship engages with God Himself. He's not distant. We can know Him personally, and He knows us personally as His child. When we come to terms with Jesus, if we put our faith in Him, what happens is that we come face to face with God Himself. And this fellowship we share is not just ourselves. We share in the life that this universe is all about. As I said, we might discover great things about our universe, but we have fellowship with the Creator of the universe. And Jesus said in John's Gospel, I'm the way, the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we'll see later in chapter 2 of 1 John, we read, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. See, Christian fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. You can't have one without the other. If we try, we're going to lose both of them. But if you do come through the Son, the promise that you come also to the Father, that's the Christian fellowship we share in. In John 17, Jesus' great prayer the night before He died, He prays, Father, just as You are in me and I am in You, may they also be in us. That unique relationship between Father and Son is we get drawn into that. Extraordinary. Is that the fellowship as a child of God you're looking for? Is that the fellowship that you trust and place your hope in? Well, what else does this mean for us? Look at verse 4. We write this to make our joy complete. I remember travelling for work years ago, and I'd end up in some great cities around the world of a weekend. So I do a little bit of sightseeing. I remember being in Switzerland and up at the top of a mountain, and the view was extraordinary. At the top of the Swiss Alps. And I remember turning going, hey, Shel. And she wasn't there. I was all alone. I couldn't share this extraordinary moment with her. See, good things are always better when you get to share them with others, isn't it? If that is true of our human relationship and experiences in life, how much more is it true of Christian fellowship with the Father and with His Son? Can such a thing be truly be rejoiced in unless we wholeheartedly share it with others? Not for John, and neither should it be for us. See, we can't underestimate the significance of sharing Christ together. Sharing that fellowship of Father and Son that we've drawn in together, of sharing in that and sharing it with each other. So think about your growth groups, and especially here of a Sunday morning, as we gather as God's family and we do ministry and life together. What we're doing is sharing fellowship with each other and with the Father and with the Son. And so we meet God in each other. We meet Christ in each other. It's easy just to go through the motions together. It's easy for our gatherings to become mundane along with other mundane things in life. Sunday is no different than Monday or Tuesday. Or we make meeting together all about ourselves. We easily become self-focused, self-interest. Our preferences cloud our fellowship that we're supposed to be sharing together here. Maybe because they are all familiar, and familiarity can lead us to unappreciate this time together. We are gathering together, sharing the fellowship that we have with the Father and the Son. That's no mundane thing. In fact, when these things lead us to sharing Christ together, they are anything but mundane, aren't they? We're meeting God in each other. And that's the very best human relationships have to offer. They're deeper than friendship and based on the foundation of fellowship with God himself. So next time you have a conversation with someone here, do it with an understanding of the common fellowship you share. That you have with Jesus and the Father, and see the nature of that conversation and where that relationship, that fellowship will lead you as God leads you. Maybe to a place where we encourage and build each other up in love, as we'll see through this letter. So remember this verse. Be joyful, let your joy be complete. See, joy is not to be construed with happiness, which depends on our human circumstances. Joy can be that. But joy is the presence of Jesus in our life by means of the indwelling Spirit of God, being drawn into that fellowship with the Father and Son. And for John, joy is complete when we share meaningful fellowship with his hearers and now readers like us. And complete joy means to be filled with the joy of fellowship with the Father and the Son and each other. And John is saying, when we have fellowship with you through the Son and with the Father, our joy is full, which Jesus himself speaks of in John 17. Jesus talks of my joy remaining in the disciples, and may my joy may be fulfilled in them. When Christ's joy is fulfilled in us, then our joy will be full. A reality of life of genuine satisfaction and excitement, no matter the circumstances. Joy through fellowship with the Father through the Son. The word of life that was with the Father from the beginning. That's what joy is all about. To know that we're loved by the Father through the Son and we're brought into fellowship with him for eternity. That's our foundation. Historical foundation that the Son appeared and now we have fellowship with him and the Father. So let me just bring this together. You know, 1 John, as we work through this term, as I said, is a foundation, not just for this letter, but for our life as Christians. A foundation that we need in a world that's going to try and lead us astray. 1 John, it's a little snapshot of the most significant truths of our Christian life. It starts with the word of life that was from the very beginning who has appeared. John heard it. He saw it. He touched it. And now we have it as we read John's testimony. And as we put our trust in Jesus, the word of life he has told us about, as we do that, we have fellowship together. Each one of us here is sharing, united together in fellowship, for our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Friends, this is the Christian experience. This is the Christian message we proclaim. So the question is that your experience? Is that our experience here? I pray it will be, so our joy will be complete. Permanent knowledge, permanent joy, that we're children of God for eternity. That's good news. Let me pray. Father God, we again thank you for your word that became flesh and dwelt among us. That in Jesus appearing that we can know life, that we can know you, that we can have fellowship with you. That we can be your children, adopted into your family. And Father, as we begin this series, as we look at your word that we have in our hands by your providence, that you speak to us. Lord, as we understand more about this life that you've called to us through Jesus, Father, that we'll delight in these things. That we'll find joy in the knowledge that we have fellowship with you and the Son through your Spirit that dwells in us. And Father, may that truth strengthen us. That we will not be led astray by the things of this world. We might face doubt of who Jesus is and his love for us. But that we'll put our trust in him. And know in the knowledge that we're a child of yours for eternity. Nothing can take that from our hand. No scheme of man, no power of man, but in Christ alone do we stand.